Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. Thank you so much for tuning in at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we got a two for today. It's back. The overlap is back. And
yep.
We will get into football.
Huh?
The overlap is a grind, but it's not going to be that bad this year. The 6-3 Wolfpack, they're going to head into an empty dome on senior night to take on our 1-8 Syracuse Orange. Syracuse comes into that game ranked 123rd in total offense in the nation, averaging 4.4 yards a play, 264 yards per game, and converting only 23.9% of their third down conversions. That's good for 121st in the country. We'll let you know what we think about that. Okay, and also, obviously, it is Senior Day in the Dome this weekend, and it was announced that those festivities will be canceled. No Senior Day for you. So,
well, if Thanksgiving's canceled, then
true.
Senior Day's a given, right?
True. I mean, yeah, you can get your temperature taken and head into Hershey Park, and you can get your temperature taken and head into Disney World. I don't know why seniors. Parents and family can't get their temperature taken and head into the dome on senior day to watch their kids play their last game live.
Right. I mean, especially considering what, just how easy you'd be able to like social distance with parents throughout that whole stadium.
I mean, come on, let's be a little bit rational. That's the most ridiculous thing I think I've seen this week, but whatever. Okay. Plus, basketball starts this week. We cannot wait. Syracuse is scheduled to go this Friday. They will start practice for Bryant on Thursday. The game, last I checked with Bryant, is set for 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
On Friday.
I'll say it again. Didn't I already say it, Joe? So.
Yeah.
We're going to get into all that and we are going to do a lightning round for the Bat Online ACC picks of the week. Speaking of Bat Online, the title sponsor for this show and Armchair Media, let me tell you, they're going to give you all the options, all of them. All of the options. They're going to go the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. As you know, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coach and props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use the promo code Armchair to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Bet responsibly, which means...
Don't listen to us.
But bet responsibly. But if you want to get a little, you want to get a little more mustard on your game, you know, make it a little bit more exciting somehow, some way. The props, the spreads, they're all there at Bet Online. So, NC State, Joe, wins over Wake Forest, Pitt, UVA, Duke, Florida State, and Liberty, as we saw last week, and losses to Virginia Tech, UNC, and Miami. NC State ranks 66th in total offense in the nation, averaging 398 yards a game at 5.7 yards a clip. We'll get a double dose of running backs this week, keeping some fresh legs out there, led by Zonovan Knight and Ricky Pearson Jr., pretty much splitting touches on the year so far. Knight with 641 on the year, averaging 5.7 yards a carry and totaling 7 TDs. Pearson Jr. with 515 yards thus far, averaging 4.7 yards a carry and 3 TDs on the year. NC State with an early quarterback carousel. It looks like 6'2 junior quarterback Bailey Hockman will be starting. He's completing 61.6% of his passes for 1,198 yards on the season so far, 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. 6'3, 220-pound senior Amikia Amenzi leads the Wolfpack with 570 yards and 4 touchdowns. Thaler Thomas, Devin Carter, and tight end Carey Angeline over 300 yards each, respectively. Angeline leads his team in touchdown receptions. NC State, they rank 97th overall in the country in total defense. 6'4", 220-pound sophomore linebacker Peyton Wilson leads NC State in tackles with 87 and interceptions with 2. 6'3", 265-pound senior lineman Daniel Joseph is your Wolfpack sack leader with 5.5 on the year. NC State, they are -3 in the turnover margin for the year. That's good, tied for 86 in the country. Now, Joe, nothing spectacular on paper. I just ran you through most of the Hardy stats, and there's nothing spectacular there. Their rankings, as I just mentioned, they mirror what's on the paper. But no doubt, you got a solid NC State football team coming into this empty dome Saturday at noon. Right. I mean, when you dig into it, it's kind of funny, man, because they look so much better on TV than what their stats really show. And I mean, maybe you can chalk that up to the quarterback carousel, or I mean, it looks like they were trying to find some identity early.
It wasn't really that. Last year they had Devin Leary who came in
who started this year too.
As well, last year he was a freshman and he was he struggled, and they had some issues with injuries on defense, offensive line, and stuff like that. That really hurt NC State last year. A lot of those guys are back healthy, and Devin Leary, he really couldn't start the beginning of the year because of like COVID and everything. So Bailey Hockman started the beginning of the year, and Devin Leary, he came in, and they started to really turn it on. This is a team that's been getting better and better as the season's gone on. I mean, they're 6-3, 5-3 in the conference. So no matter what the stats say, they're a tough out. And we got the Duke. Devin Leary was really actually, he was the starter. And once he got in there and he was back from the COVID and everything, he got in there and he was really doing well. And you saw the team starting to take off. And then he had that injury against Duke where I believe he tore his ACL or he did something to his knee or something like that. I don't know. I believe it's a season ending injury. And I think that kind of like slowed them down a little bit, but they were kind of on the path of being possibly an upper echelon ACC team. Mm-hmm. And after that injury, they go to North Carolina the next week and they get blown out pretty bad, 48-21. And I think that was just coming off the fact that they lost, you know, their starting quarterback, but obviously Bailey Hockman has experience. And then they come back and they lose by 3 to Miami. I remember talking about that game. That was a great game. And since then, Bailey Hockman's looked pretty good. He has thrown an interception almost every game, but he has been looking better, and the rest of the team's gotten good around him. And like you said, that two-headed monster, man, with those running backs, that's going to be tough. And they got a healthy offensive line. They're hitting a stride. They just beat Liberty. Although if Liberty's, you know, special teams is any better, then they probably would have won. But we've talked about that. This is going to be a tough game for us. This is really, really going to be a tough game for us, especially considering what we saw on offense last game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, my focus is those running backs. You know, Hockman not known for getting outside the pocket and making plays with his feet, but he's decent as a quarterback.
Move.
Yeah, he can, but he's not racking it up.
He can move, and I believe he's a lefty, so it's a little bit different to game plan against. And again, like I said, he has been getting better, but I'll tell you what, he does make mistakes as well. So again,
yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Number one is we got to stop that running attack. That's going to be the toughest part.
Yeah, well, Joe, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I don't see how they do it. I don't see how they do it right now. Now, that's just me. That's how I feel. The faith, belief without evidence thing. I've not given up on this, but I've all but given up on this because seeing is believing to me at this point. And I don't. And look. You know, this is senior night. I don't know if that's going to come into it. It's the last game of the Dome of the season. You know, this Dome is ready to go. No fans have been in the damn thing. Everything's brand new in there.
Right.
And here we are, the end of football season, and no one's going to be able to go in there for the end of that. So, which, right. It, you know, whatever. Could you make something work? I think you could. But
well, yeah, there's that opportunity. You talked about their defense. Defense is pretty good, so it's going to be tough anyway.
Their defense is good. Look, I mean, say what you want about like teams like Liberty, but Liberty's offense is not – they're not like – I mean, they're better than ours. And Liberty pretty much shut him down.
A lot of offenses are better than ours.
Yeah, I know. But Liberty, you know, Malik Willis, three turnovers, three interceptions in that game. And they're an aggressive defense. And they're going to play hard. And that's what worries me. Like, that Liberty-NC State game was a hell of a battle, really, defensively.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I just think that as time has gone on, and I've mentioned it with, we didn't know where NC State was. You know, I thought they were going to be pretty good. I thought they'd be better than they are now, but they're a whole lot better, I think, now than they were 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and if they had Devin Leary, this point spread would probably be another 7, 8, 9 points. They might even have another win on their schedule if that was the case, but again, I haven't seen enough on offense. I don't know. I mean, after watching Jacobian Morgan last week, and then I know he took that hit. So, plus it being
does he even start? Yeah.
Well, plus it being senior week and everything, and you know, Rex being a senior, do you just let him do it and hope that the other teams game plan it for Jacobian? But really, at the end of the day, there's enough tape on both of those quarterbacks for that defense to be able to handle that. So. Again, go to Rex, maybe try to hit some long balls. I think you got to try to,
establish a run game early.
Yeah,
somehow.
We got to establish a run game and kind of dink and dunk and hope that
stick with it. Either they start it late or they abandon it. And neither one of those things I get. You know, do you kind of feel that way as far as Syracuse in the run game? I mean, sometimes you're like, well, it seems to be working, and then they stop. Well, a lot of time, I take that back a little bit because a lot of times they need points. So I understand.
Now, I know they do, but I think we have to kind of heed our expectations early and just hope that our defense is going to keep us in the game.
Which, to your point,
realistically,
the offense has got to stay on the field, and that's been the problem all year.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about last game, it was almost a full three quarters our defense. Minus 3 minutes. I mean, you're talking
three and some change. You're talking three quarters.
And we're just not going to – I mean, they'll run over 200, 250 yards against us if we do that. So,
yeah, what are they averaging running a game, by the way? I should have looked this up.
Enough.
Damn, I don't have it here in front of me, unfortunately. But you know, what'd I say, 300 and 368 yards a game averaging between you know, on the ground and through the air. So, I mean, I don't know, guys. I have a hard time. I have a hard time being optimistic. I think my optimism is turned to realism here, and I just don't. I mean, these last two games, I just think, I don't know.
Man, and honestly, these two running backs too. Not only are they fast and quick, and yeah, they can make you miss, but they're also strong, and they'll run through a tackler too. So, again, if we don't establish something on offense and get some points on the board, I mean, we always say that it can't look any worse, but
yeah, well, we still got to play Notre Dame.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
I don't mean to be coming across as negative. I'm not. I mean, that's why we play the game, right? Anything can happen. I'm not saying it can't. But like to your point, Ricky Person Jr., 6'1", 215. I mean, that's a grown man right there. So
yeah. You know. So I mean, again, we kind of know where we're at right now. There shouldn't really be too many expectations, and you just hope that maybe they can pull together. And, you know, weirder things have happened on a senior night, right? And again, just, you know, look to the young guys and to what these younger guys can do against this type of competition, and hope to obviously look forward to the future. I know that some fans don't want to hear that, but we talked about it last week.
Let me say this, okay? And I'm not trying to jump on from one bandwagon to another. It's not what I'm trying to do here. But we saw how Jacobian looked against Boston College, and it looked decent. Like, it wasn't terrible. I didn't think it was that bad. And then we saw last week, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's like a deer in the headlights. I mean, can you chalk that up to more of like a, you know, I mean, maybe nerves, or just like, you know, getting the big start in front of people, you know, not in the dome? I mean, is it one of those things where it's just his inexperience kind of got to him and just got the best of him and he just never settled in?
I mean, it could be that. We did have a lot of turnovers early and stuff like that, but I think a lot of it is just the fact that Louisville had, you know, 2 weeks in a game tape to prepare for him in hopes that he wasn't going to, you know, take some giant leaps in 2 weeks and show some stuff that he didn't show against Boston College. And then, you know, unfortunately for us, that didn't happen and kind of fell right into his game plan. Right. I mean, that's really what happens. I mean, that's what happened with Rex when Rex came in and he threw that touchdown pass. And like, defenses, and they watch tape and they prepare against specific players. And if they haven't prepared against you, then you can get some plays on them. And those guys can look a little bit better than maybe the person prior, because there's a little bit different game plan and the defense doesn't know what they're going to do. Yeah. But then, you know, give a coach a week or two to break down that tape, and they can put a pretty good game plan against that person and expose them. So, and that's what we've seen throughout this year with our backup quarterbacks.
NC State sits 92nd in the country, by the way, with 133.8 rushing yards a game. So, at 3.6 yards a rush. But, you know, that's everything and everybody. So,
yeah,
you know, you got one running back that's averaging 5.7 yards a carry. So, you know what I'm saying? And those guys, too, are getting pretty equal touches. Like, we know which one's better. We know who's going to be out there first. We know who's going to be doing the bulk of the running. But they really do split time, and I think that's dangerous. I think that's dangerous. That's so good to have. And that's what that's what we were looking forward to, right? I mean, that was kind of our game plan talk going into the year. You know, we're going to have fresh legs at running back. I mean, this whole dynamic could change. You know, we could look really good on offense and open up some passing opportunities for Tommy DeVito. That's what we were talking about before the opt-outs.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
And you look at the rushing. I mean, you look at the receiving as well. They don't pass as much, but you got a Kerry Angeline. He's a senior 6'7" tight end who has 6 touchdowns on 20 catches. I mean, quarter of his catches are touchdowns, right? Yeah. Emeka Emezi, who you spoke of, he's 6'3". Devin Carter, 6'4". They got some big receivers on the outside. They got a experience laden 6'7", just all he does is catch touchdowns, tight end. And they sit there and they just pound the rock. So they'll lull you to sleep, play action, boom. This is a team that could definitely wear us out if we don't put points on the board.
Yep. And the spread is at 14 points, Syracuse being the 14-point underdog. And when you look at last week, like Joe said, seems a little low. But we will go over that. But first, before we do, one more time, let's hear from the good folks over at Bet Online. We are going to talk basketball here in just a minute. And so that means you need to get over to Bet Online. Check out all their basketball props. Check out the spreads. Basketball's starting up this week, and get over there and check everything out. They're going to go the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use the promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Look, are you looking for a holiday gift for your man that you could benefit from? You want a nice, clean, shaven, well-manicured man? I mean, who doesn't? Joe loves a well-shaven, clean, manicured man. So, might I suggest it's time to gear up. Get yourself over to Manscaped. Check out the Perfect Package 3.0. All right? This is the holiday package. It comes with a revolutionary lawnmower 3.0. This has proprietary advanced skin safe technology. So this trimmer does not cut the nuts. Okay? It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for a perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling great. And like we've said in the past, don't use the same trimmer on the face that you're using down below the belt. All right? That's just nasty. We don't do that. And these products smell good. The Crop Preserver and the Cologne. Stop the sweat. Stop the chafing. Get the Crop Preserver. Manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself over to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code Armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Armchair. Clean your junk up. Make Santa proud this year. All right, great stocking stuffer. Just so you know, if you're wondering. Okay. All right, Joe. Bryant Bulldogs. Sir. The Bryant Bulldogs, okay, out of the NEC, Northeast Conference. And it looks like they're actually going to be playing a game tomorrow. I think they're slated to play Stony Brook.
Yes.
Okay, at 1 o'clock. So their season opens tomorrow. And, you know, I knew nothing about Bryant. In fact, wasn't even sure Bryant even existed until a couple weeks ago. So, a little research here, a little research there, picking around at the blogs. Head coach Jared Grasso, he's in his second year of building this program. He actually had to fill 9 openings due to opt-outs and pandemic issues. He's using Peter Kiss, who averaged 6 points and 2.2 rebounds a game in 30 games at Rutgers in the 18-19 season. Chris Child, who's a JUCO All-American. Melo Engelson, who started his career at Wake Forest, then went to Arkansas State, where he averaged 8.4 points a game and 5.1 rebounds. Darius Gwynn averaged 17 points and made 192 free throws last year at Central Wyoming. Returning starters from last year include 6'8 forward Hall Elises, I think, shooting 62.5% from the field and averaging 7 points a game. Sophomore guard Michael Green III comes into this year averaging 9.3 points a game from last year and shooting 37%. Another sophomore guard returns, Charles Pride. He's averaging 8.2 points a game from last year, shooting 42.8%. And just as a side note, last year the Bryant Bulldogs, they racked up 10 Northeast Conference Rookie of the Week honors as a team. So, if you're in the NAC, this is kind of a team to watch out for. Really, I mean, some of their bloggers and fans alike are really high on this team winning the NAC championship this year. So they've got a team. This guy Jared Grasso actually has put together a hodgepodge of players from all over the place, and he's got a really solid team. I mean, the list actually goes on too. I just gave you kind of the guys pulling the bigger numbers, but returning 3 starters from last year, and you know they're actually not like a shabby team. You know?
No, and this is one of those teams where again I think the shortened season might hurt them because it's going to take a little while. They got a little bit of a youth movement going on. And also, like you said, having to bring in 9 players definitely is a tough task, right?
Right, so but it looks like he did a good job,
guys,
right?
Like you said, you get a guy from Rutgers. You get a JUCO All-American. You get a guy that started at Wake Forest. Luis Hurtado Jr., he transferred from UAB. Another guy, Luke Sutherland, he transferred from Siena, which, I mean, you never know. And then this other guy that scored all those points for Central Michigan, you don't really know what you got. You got a hodgepodge. And
Charles Pride is from Syracuse.
Yes, so is Luke Sutherland. I actually read something on Syracuse.com, and they were talking about how it's kind of a tough situation because Charles Pride, he graduated from Liverpool, and Luke Sutherland, who transferred from Siena, he's a graduate from West Genesee. So
okay.
When they saw this game, obviously they were excited, but then with the new lockdowns and everything like that, I mean, they're going to travel there. They're going to travel there. There's not going to be any fans, and I don't even think they're going to be allowed to see their parents.
Ugh, that sucks.
Or see their family during Thanksgiving. Yeah, so that's unfortunate, and obviously that's the type of game, especially being a kid like that from Syracuse, but going to another college, and you want to be able to show up. I mean, show up and show out, right, in front of your fans.
I'm sure they were Syracuse fans growing up. They probably dreamed of playing on that dome floor. You know what I'm saying?
And we've seen that all. I mean, that's happened all the time. We've seen those type of players come back and then try to play in front of the crowd and stuff like that. So, a tough team. You don't really know what you're going to get. I still think that they lack a little bit too much height.
Yeah, they're short. 6'8", I think, is as tall as they go, isn't it?
Yep. The return of the big man there, Hall. I'm not going to even try his last name. I'm glad you did. He's 6'8", and then Mello Eggleston, who transferred, is 6'8", as well. So that's about as big as they get, and I just don't know. I think we just have too much returning bodies and big bodies for this to obviously be a game. This is one of the warm-up games. But it is going to be interesting, and 1 o'clock tomorrow, the Bryant plays against Stony Brook. I don't know if you're going to be able to find it anywhere, but it's at least going to be interesting to try to, you know, just look at the box score and after reading this this preview for Bryant to see who actually is the guys. But it does seem like they have two guards, you know, two sophomore guards, and then you know the big guy there that at least is back in. I mean, Michael Green, he was the rookie of the year last year in the NEC, right?
So, yes, he was. Yeah.
And like you said, 10 of the weeks they had or 10 times they had rookie of the week honors, right? So, so they got a young team, and with these other guys coming in who were actual guys that came from, you know, some of them were even Power 5. JUCO All-American, that's nothing to, you know, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
We'll see.
He's done a good job. Their fans and their bloggers are really high on this coach too. This Jared Grasso. So they really like him.
I guess he's a really energetic guy, and Bryant has been pretty good in the NEC historically. So, but I think lately they kind of fallen off, and this guy they're really enthusiastic. I think they were voted by the coaches in the league to finish third.
Okay.
Well, and I'm sure there's a little bit of bias there
There's some guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was if there's some of these guys that actually show up and play like again, these guys got scholarships from Rutgers and Wake Forest and UAB, and now they're going to Bryant. You know, so
it's got
to
be something there,
right?
Yeah. So I was just looking through this real quick. We got Bronx, New York. Michael Green. You got Westbury, which is just outside. I believe that's outside of the city, Westbury. Timmy Kiggins. Then you got Brooklyn, Bronx, New York, New York. I mean, they're Valley Stream, New York, wherever that is. Highly recruited inside New York, these guys. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, Northeast is a basketball, you know, hotbed, and Bryant is in Rhode Island. So.
Yeah, it's in Rhode Island, right? Yep. Real quick, let's see how Siri pronounces this name. By the way, I just thought I'd try this since I got it hooked up. Hold on.
Halelias.
Wait, what?
Halelias.
Elias?
Hall Elias.
Hall Elias.
She sounds confused.
Just so you guys know, I am the butcher of names. This is where names come to die. And so I started.
Sounds like you listen to Siri.
I do. I listen to Siri. I think she's failing me, bro. I know. That's what I'm saying. All right. Okay. Well, look. We've got basketball back. I am not severely in any way worried about Bryant, but the classic slow start to Syracuse may be a thing. There's no doubt in my mind if that happens that Syracuse is going to wear these guys out, and you're going to have the hometown guys, and they might pull through some highlight shots, or you know they might be motivated to do some things. But at the end of the day, guys, basketball's back. Okay, we're going to get I cannot wait to come back and just purge the things that I...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Oh, enjoyed. Dude, I can't wait. Like, honestly, right. To be perfectly honest with you, our big guys should eat this game. They should do very, very well. I'm interested to see how Joe Girard, with his new supposed body, putting on 10, 15 pounds and, you know, working on some things. I'm interested to see how our guards match up against their guards, because even though they're sophomores, they're very quick, energetic, high-energy guys. So
they're going
to
be the team that's coming out with the energy, I promise you.
Oh, yeah, and those guards with the quickness, that's kind of what killed us last year. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm interested to see that. I'm not worried about it. I don't think that we're going to lose to the team. But, you know, first game, there's always that, what is it going to be? But That's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the big guys to dominate like they should. I'm looking to see what Alan Griffin brings to the table, and I want to see Buddy and Joe. Hopefully, new and improved defense on the top of the 2-3 zone.
There was a Facebook or tweet post. I think it was a Facebook post by Inside the Loud House, and I think the question was proposed. You know, who's going to take the place of Elijah Hughes this year? And you know, I was thinking, I'm like, well, I know who's got to, and that's Buddy. Buddy's got to be the one to take the reins and do that. Now I don't know who if that's going to be, but this is Buddy's team.
All of them.
I think all of them too. Well, obviously, but that would be fantastic, right? But I feel like this is Buddy's team. Like if he wants to take this team under his wing and be the leader on the floor, this is the time to do it. This is the year to start, and this is where it begins for Buddy. Okay.
No, yeah, he's most likely going to be the leading scorer on the team, right?
I would think so. I mean,
but I think it's going to be more of a team oriented effort as far as where this team is going
to
go. Last year,
they're going to have to
even
be.
Some of the years back, there was just down to a couple players, and then I think that we're lined up this year to really get contributions all over the place.
Yeah, I think the talent is spread around, and I think the hero ball stops.
Yes, I think that's the way we got to go, because at the end of the day, where we are as far as, like you said, with our depth and our talent and down the line in different positions and being interchangeable, we're going to be able to find mismatches in almost every game. And we got to be able to take advantage of them instead of having Elijah Hughes take all the shots or Tyus Battle take all the shots. So yeah. I'm hoping that we're trending in that direction. Now, obviously, if it comes down to, you know, we need a bucket, or we need this, or if Buddy's open, or you know, but we got some high level scores, and you know, I'm not even really worried too much about like the who's going to take the reins from Elijah as a scoring, because I think it's going to be more spread out. I'm more worried about the fact that we need to get better on defense.
Yeah,
we need to get back to the traditional 2-3. Top 25, 30 defense, because that's where we're going to pose problems and go deep in the tournament.
You got some of the length back. You know, they're saying Alan Griffin's going to fit in great with the zone, and he's got the wingspan, and
that's where you're going to see the improvement, man. Because we made tournaments back in the day with some teams that, I mean, we won off of defense. We weren't great offensive teams.
Right.
And now we have the offense, and it's now we got to catch back up to the defense. Because if we get even close to where we were, then we're gonna be in the tournament pretty easily.
If you listen to this show for any amount of time, you know that we don't set expectations. But I'm sorry, I cannot hide my excitement. I am freaking so excited about this team. I'm more excited about this team than I was in the past couple of years, even with Joe Girard coming in. I was really excited to watch Joe Girard start his freshman year. So
yeah, but if we don't change our defense, then we're going to have to win shootouts again.
Yeah, which we don't want.
I mean, it was, don't get me wrong, it was entertaining last year, but it's nerve-wracking.
Those Notre Dame games.
We're in shootouts against everybody.
Yeah. We play up and down to our competition, too. That's just Syracuse typical.
Nah, but our defense was, compared to what our defense was in the past couple of years and who we lost last year, we definitely dropped.
Absolutely.
Significantly.
All right. It's time for our ACC picks of the week. Joe, who's got the belt? There was only three games played last week, with not including the Liberty NC State game. So we did the three games, and we both got our butts handed to us in the Syracuse game, obviously. Mm. We had the homer pick there with Syracuse, so we both lost that. Where'd we end up?
So we ended up, as sad as it sounds, I ended up 0-2 and you ended up 1-1. I took Virginia Tech. If we really wanted to squeak in that Liberty NC State game, then we both would have been 1-1.
Oh, that's right, because
or 1-2. Sorry,
because UVA played out of conference too. My bad.
Yeah, UVA played out of conference. We had all. I mean, we made certain picks. We made the Wake Forest Duke pick, and we made the Clemson Florida State pick. But they got postponed and canceled after the fact. So
yeah, I got Clemson Florida State postponed, Georgia Tech Miami postponed, and then Wake Forest Duke canceled.
Well, we knew Georgia Tech and Miami was postponed prior to that. We didn't pick that game.
No one knew Clemson Florida State was going to be postponed, including Clemson and Florida State. So let's start
right until the end.
Yeah. Let's start with NC State coming into the dome, the empty dome. Syracuse going to be a 14-point underdog in that game, Joe. I mean, we're going to make these picks as quick as we can here. I don't want to just bloviate on the picks, but I just want to see it. Just, you know what? I'm going to take NC State and just hope for the best with this one, bro, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't seen anything promising enough to me to where Syracuse is going to cover 14 points. In fact, I think NC State is a better team than Louisville. I understand that those one was home and this one's home and Louisville was away, but I just don't see it. I don't know.
Well, and let's be honest, home field advantage really isn't the same this year, right?
No, absolutely.
As it's been in the past. So I'm kind of right there with you. I'm very, very surprised that this isn't a bigger
spread.
I mean, unless they just – it's one of those natural occurrences where it's like there's no way that Syracuse can play that bad again, and maybe NC State, they look over them because they just had a big win. But I'm not going to – I don't think NC State's looking at Liberty as, oh, it's a big win, right? So
no, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm sure they're glad not to lose, and I mean, it was an undefeated team, and they were ranked.
One-point game at home. Liberty gave them everything they can handle, came down to a field goal.
Yeah. I mean, we severely, severely need improved offense. And I don't see – there's not enough proof or evidence for me to see that this offense is going to do.
I agree. I just don't want them to bleed all over the field like we saw against Louisville. That's all. That's all.
I'm sorry, but it could be worse.
Hold it together. Notre Dame going into UNC. UNC going to be only a 4.5-point underdog there. And that seems crazy, too, to me. But I do think, look, I hope this game is what it's going to be hyped to be. I don't think North Carolina has a chance. But I do hope that this game is what it's advertised. I'm taking Notre Dame. You writing these down, boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Notre Dame is -4?
Yep.
And that was away, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm kind of right there with you. North Carolina has just not – they can't stop. They can't stop anything. Their defense is just bad. Every game's a shootout, and I think Notre Dame's defense is just too good. So North Carolina will put up some points, but Notre Dame's going to win that pretty handily, I believe. Double digits, probably.
This one here is interesting to me. Again, we get into this conundrum where Clemson is just favored by a ton, and I don't know what to do. And this is my biggest problem with Clemson this year. They're so good. Their spreads are so freaking vast, and it seems unrealistic. Pittsburgh going into Clemson as a 24-point underdog. Now, Clemson going to have fans. Clemson not going to be the ones to cancel this game. And they want to play. Trevor Lawrence is back. I got to say, man, Pittsburgh, watch out. I think Clemson, right when I'm about to go, man, the spread is 24 points.
Mm.
Right when I'm about to go make my pick, I pull back and I say, man, are you sure? And I say to myself, no, I'm not. So I'm going to – Clemson wants to play, bro. They want to play. They're gonna come out. I think they're going to destroy Pitt. I don't think it's close. I think they're going to clear 24 easy. I'll take Clemson.
Okay.
Is this where we differ?
Okay.
Pittsburgh, by the way, coming off of a stomping of Virginia Tech. I mean, 47-14 against Virginia Tech. That wasn't even close.
Yeah, it's tough because you go back and forth all the time, and you've actually won a bunch on Pitt this year. And I was all over Pitt early, and I kind of forgot how good they were when Kenny Pickett was there and he was playing. And then Kenny Pickett came back, and I kind of slept on him, and I can understand 100% completely. I mean, you think about it. I don't think Trevor Lawrence has played since, what, the Syracuse game?
Dude, has it been that long?
Well, yeah, because he sat out 2 games for COVID, right?
Yeah, hold on. Let me look.
Pretty sure that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because he didn't play against Notre Dame. He didn't play against. They played Boston College.
Right.
Yeah, and then Florida State was canceled.
Trevor Lawrence hasn't played for a month.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
And the whole team themselves haven't played for 17 days.
Yeah.
So, like you said, chomping at the bit, like they're ready to go. But I saw too much from Pitt last week. I'm going to have to go Pitt. And I only say that because just sometimes too much time. Sometimes too much time kind of you have some rust.
And I know. I understand.
You got a different quarterback and everything like that.
I think you got a quarterback, though, in Trevor Lawrence, who is one of those guys that overcomes that. You know, I think Trevor Lawrence overcomes the off for a month. He's an elite.
Oh, he might be able to, but I'm saying the rest of the team spent 17 days.
True. I understand that. And they traveled. Didn't they travel to Florida State? Weren't they there already?
I think they were already there, yeah.
Yeah.
And then just travel back.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure they're ready to just pop somebody else in the mouth other than their teammates. They've got plenty of time to get right. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do cover this. But I just think that Pitt gets a turnover or two.
It's at Clemson, too, man. That crowd is going to be rocking.
Yeah. I'm still going to go Pitt.
Okay. All right. Louisville heads to Boston College. Now, if this is as advertised, this has got to be the game of the week. Louisville heading into Boston College as a 1.5-point underdog. And, you know, I'm going to let you go first on this one. I'm going to let you go first on the next two because they're tight. They are so tight.
The next two?
Yeah, Louisville, Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech are both under 2 points on the spread.
Yeah, I think that honestly, just because of what happened last week, I think that this is kind of what it is. I don't know that Louisville's got some athletes, but they lost Javion Hawkins, and it didn't even really – we didn't see the difference, right?
You're right, yeah. You're good point.
We didn't see the difference, but I think Boston College is good enough to be able to see the difference.
I agree.
Tutu Atwell really didn't play that well. In Boston College, I mean, they're still 4-3. They put up 31 against Notre Dame last week.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago. So when you look at Boston College, their only losses this year are North Carolina, Clemson, and Notre Dame, which are the top three teams in mm-hmm. this conference. To me, this one's pretty – I mean, even if it's tight and BC wins by a field goal, I think that that BC is going to cover this pretty easily.
So I'm there with you. Look, I think this
is – I talk you into it?
Yeah, you did because I thought you did. You actually did, but I thought of something too while you were talking. And part of me forgot how bad Louisville actually is after watching them play Syracuse. Louisville sucks. Okay, now you can make up all the excuses you want, but if ifs and buts were candy nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. If they didn't turn the ball over so much, they wouldn't have lost so many games. Well, guess what? They turned the ball over. So. Well,
they turned the ball over a bunch last week.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just like, what the frick? Yeah, there he is, folks. There he is.
A fortune for the swear jar.
So what I am going to do is I'm gonna pick with you. I'm gonna stick with you. I think Boston College might annihilate Louisville. On second thought, after I heard you, and I just thought about really how bad Louisville actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Sometimes it's hard to put in perspective how bad your own team is, and then once you lose to a team like that, you're like, oh, man, they must be good, but no, they're really not. We're just that bad.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. All right, Duke going into Georgia Tech as a one-point favorite there, and by the way, Boston College, they did last week and a half ago. They held their own for a little while against Notre Dame, so that was a tight game at one point. Duke and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, when was the last time they even played, bro? Because their game was postponed. They might be going on 3 weeks of not playing, too, because their last game on schedule was postponed.
Halloween.
Holy great. Coogly moogly.
Yeah. Their Pittsburgh and Miami games were both postponed. Yep.
Yeah, man. Gosh. I don't know, man. I got to go. Oh, man. I said I was going to give this one to you first, too. You know what? No, I'm not going to because I don't want to be swayed. I'm going to go Duke. I'm going to go Duke, man. I think Georgia Tech's, I think they're rusty, bro, and they may be practicing. But, you know, Duke, by the way, they haven't played, you know, they've played more recently than Boston College, but they haven't played in 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks as well.
November
in the last,
7th.
In the last, yeah, and the last team they played was Charlotte.
North Carolina.
Was it North Carolina?
Yeah, they got beat up pretty bad by North Carolina.
Oh, that's
they
right.
Beat up Charlotte. So that's it was 56 to 24.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Not even a contest. Yeah. No. So, but, you know, they're at least in the games. So, I mean, not in the game score wise, but they're playing the games. So right. I'm just going to go with Duke being a 1 point favorite. They're going to clear 1 point.
Think so.
I hope so now that I picked them.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I think that I think Georgia Tech, they have the athletes to win and being home in Georgia. I think they are going to have fans. So, you know, they beat Florida State and they beat Louisville. And I think that they've been sidelined long enough. They had a bunch of injuries actually early. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were some guys that were actually back that we haven't even seen in 4 or 5 weeks. Well, you know. Before they even played. So you take Duke. I'm taking Georgia Tech.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, we've got some more teams that really haven't played. Well, hold on a second. Let me look at this. UVA heading into Florida State. So, yeah, UVA played last week.
Yep.
Abilene Christian, they stomped them 55-15. Florida State, as we know, they canceled their game against Clemson. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to look through here. And they did not play the week before that either, that being Florida State. So you got to go all the way back to
NC State on November 14th.
Okay.
For yeah. Florida State.
Yeah, that was are we sure?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
They lost 38-22 to Florida State. Or sorry, okay. to NC State.
All right. So this I think this is going to be a decent game though regardless cuz I think these are both like
what's the spread?
I'm sorry guys. The Florida State is at home as a 9-point underdog. So UVA coming in there as a 9-point favorite to Florida State. Hmm. Florida State going to have fans. I know it's kind of you almost think that would be reversed almost even if you really think about it. But
really?
I think so. I mean, I think UVA's been, they've showed glimmers of good, playing good, man. And then sometimes you look at me like, what the hell's going on here? So I don't know, man. This one's really, honestly, this is the toughest pick, I think. But I'm going to say that Florida State covers. I think this is, I don't know if they win, but I think they cover. And I think that this is going to be a good game. I really do. I think this is going to be okay. a good game.
Okay.
I don't know if it's my game of the week, but I think it's going to be a good game. They cover.
So this is, yeah, this is how I really look at it. You know, Virginia, they beat Duke the first game of the season. Then they lost to Clemson, NC State, at Wake Forest, and at Miami. So they start off the season 1-4. Now, since then, they've beaten North Carolina. They had a game against Louisville that was postponed in which they played the next week, and they won by 14, and then they just beat Abilene Christian. So, realistically, when I look at Virginia, they haven't lost since October 24th. And Florida State, just other than that random game against North Carolina, they haven't impressed me. And really, they wouldn't cover with 9 points against the last three games that they played. So I think that Virginia is a little underrated, and they're kind of hitting a stride. Haven't lost in a month, so I'm going to take Virginia.
Okay, well, fair enough. Read those off to me real quick. That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, and as of right now, by the way, I think we're all good. There's nothing on here.
Postponed or canceled yet, nope.
Yeah, no, there's nothing postponed or canceled on here yet. And so hopefully we get a full slate of ACC football, and there's nobody even playing out of conference. So
yeah. This slate looks a lot better. And you're talking about six games versus with the three that we had to see last week. I mean, the Liberty and NC State game was pretty good.
Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, no, that was an excellent game, by the way. And I said, I mean, I'm trying to pat myself on the back, but I mean, if I had a feeling Liberty's number was up
Yeah, but they did cover.
They did cover, but we didn't. I mean, I said outright win, though.
Yeah,
I did.
Well,
say
and
that.
We talked about it back when when we were playing against them. They had trouble with their special teams, and I think we even blocked one of the kicks, or they missed a PAT, or you know something like that when we played them. So.
Oh right, yeah, we talked about that on the phone. Yeah, about the special teams.
And even one of my buddies was like, yeah, we made the mistake. Virginia Tech didn't. We just didn't call the timeout.
Yeah, just let them kick it one time only.
Because if you remember when they played against Virginia Tech.
They called a timeout.
They messed it up. They called a timeout, but he missed it.
Yeah, and then he made it.
Then he went up there and he made it. So, yeah.
And by the way, Liberty's kicker is big enough to be a linebacker. I don't know what the hell he's doing kicking a ball. But and well, he can barely
he's
freaking
not good
move
enough to be a linebacker. Just because you're big enough to be a linebacker,
I know, that's
don't mean
true.
Good enough to be a linebacker.
That's very true. Look at Sebastian Janikowski, old sea bass man. Gosh, I love that dude.
So, what's your game of the week, bro?
Oh, game of the week, dude. I think I'm gonna have to pick that Virginia Florida State game. It's between that and Louisville-Boston College, in my opinion.
Mm.
But I'm going to go, because I picked Florida to cover, I'm going to pick that game. Florida State to cover, I'm going to pick the UVA-Florida State game as my game of the week.
Okay. That's tough for me, and even though it's like bottom of the barrel, because I'm trying to look at this, and it's like,
well, wait, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's ACC football, man. You watch it because you want to see.
No, I know, but it's a situation where I think Notre Dame's going to win
pretty
handily.
We watch a crappy team every week.
I think Notre Dame's going to win handily. I think NC State's going to win handily. I think Clemson's going to win handily. I think Boston College is going to win handily, and you just picked the other one. So even though it's Duke, Georgia Tech,
that's fine.
I mean, that's probably
2-6 versus 2-5.
It's not it's not for any type of win, the winner or champion, but I think that's going to be the closest game that comes down to the end.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see. So you're going to take the Duke game for your game of the week, and I'm going to take Florida State UVA. All right. Cool. All right. Thank you, everybody. If you're still listening to the show, God bless you.
We love
you. God bless you. Golly day. Daryl. I know Daryl's still listening. I got Daryl's stuff together. He got a little Cuse Militia swag, so he's got some of that coming his way. I
got
to get a couple more things.
We got some basketball to talk about, right?
Yeah, that's right, man. Come back. You know, I don't know how we're gonna work these post games. Might have to just I don't know. We'll see. So we don't have it. Once we do the overlap, it's hard to have a schedule. So we just kind of do it as we can.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, once we play, what's our next game?
Rutgers?
Yeah, no, the Rutgers isn't our next game.
Rutgers is not our next game.
No.
Oh, that's right. They announced one, didn't they? Who was it?
Yeah, no, December 3rd is against Niagara.
Niagara, okay, all right. Oh, I have the old schedule here.
Yeah, then December 5th, Rider.
Rider.
December 8th, Rutgers, before we get into a Boston College matchup December 12th. And then a week later, we play Buffalo, and then it's all ACC after that. So, but you're talking about, what, three games in five, 6 days when it comes through Niagara through Rutgers after this first one. So,
yeah. Well, it looks like I got to print a new schedule, too. So that's old. So my bad. Anyway,
no, all good. I'm just saying it's in full swing. We got this one game, and then next week, I think the third, I think it's Thursday, and then we're just
coasting.
We have
man.
A game almost like every 2 or 3 days after that. So
basketball season's a grind, Joe. Remember, I mean, it's just a grind to get
through. Well, especially when it's like cross reference, right? I mean, we don't have an extra game and some bowl games and some of this football stuff that we're going to be hitting up. So,
yep.
It'll be shortened football season and a shortened kind of, doubling up season. So
it helped that the basketball season started late and the football season is going to end early for sure. So
anyway,
not that that's what I want, but that's the reality of it. So, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Obviously, like we said, you guys are the hardcore of the hardcore. We appreciate you. Thank you to Bat Online. Thank you to Manscaped. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Hey.
Cuse basketball, Friday at 3 o'clock.
3 p.m.
Across California, school food professionals are using their skills to develop recipes that incorporate fresher ingredients and more scratch cooking. Learn how they're cooking up change at schoolfoodpros.org. Grant provided by California Community College's Chancellor's Office.